Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
True love for God says with the psalmist in Psalm 63, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. Earnestly I seek you. My soul follows hard after you. My guess is that many of you are sitting there now fighting a war in your conscience. I'm up here making an argument we need to be disciplined with times of isolated extended prayer, and something in you is just fighting that. No, don't make it so I have to do that. I mean, you're just searching high and low for some reasoning that would exempt you from having to do this. You don't want to have to make changes, the changes necessary in your life, to include this as part of your regular practice. Now, you don't want to have to do it because it's so hard. It's hard enough for you to pray, just for 2 minutes, much less, an hour or several hours. Extended prayer is hard. It is hard. Why is it so hard? It's hard because of what Jesus says in verse 6. He says, pray to your Father who is what? Unseen. That's why it's hard. Prayer is hard because you're talking to someone you can't see. I can talk to a friend. I can talk to one of you for an hour. That's easy because you keep answering me back. And we go back and forth. I can see you. I can hear you. And we can talk. I can't hear God. I can't see God. Talking to an invisible God who doesn't answer back audibly is very hard. Because of distractions. It's because of the way our brains work. I don't know about you, but I mean, I pray, I resolve, okay, I'm going to spend an hour in prayer. I kneel down, I close my eyes, and I begin talking to God, and suddenly, I'm golfing. And I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with how to fix my backswing and everything, and pretty soon my imaginary golf game is interrupted by the fact that there's an important phone call, I forgot to make it. As soon as I'm done praying, I need to remember to make that. Oh, and I have to pay that credit card bill today. Oh, and speaking of the credit card, we are spending way too much money on groceries. We've got to get a handle on the groceries. Oh, and that reminds me, I've still got that Chili's gift card. Maybe I should just take Tracy, surprise her, and take her out to lunch today. Share a burger, we get some paradise pie. Boy, my knees are getting kind of sore. Oh, yes, sir, I'm praying. Oh, what am I doing? Lord, I'm sorry. And, help me concentrate. And I don't know about you, that's the way my prayers go. I get to the end of my hour of prayer, and sometimes I look back, I spent a total of maybe 4 minutes actually paying attention to God. Carrying on an extended conversation with a silent, invisible being is hard to do. And the Lord recognizes that it's difficult. It's why He pronounces a special blessing on those who haven't seen God. John 20:29. Then Jesus told them, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. There's a special blessing on not seeing God and still believing. And that's the opposite of what sometimes people think. Very often there are people who, you look at these folks that have visions of God all the time and you think, wow, they're the really spiritual ones. They see God. They got all these visions. They say God talks to them audibly and they hear His voice and they see Him in visions and they take trips to heaven and all this stuff. And they write books and people buy them and we just think, wow, those are really spiritual people. Meanwhile, I close my eyes and all I see is back of my eyelids. I don't see, there's no visions, there's nothing. And the experience is so boring that it's all I can do to avoid being distracted with thoughts of some dumb TV show that I watched while I'm trying to pray. And so we think, I must not be at the same level spiritually as that person because I don't see the vision, I don't hear the voice. It's just the exact opposite. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen. The less you've seen, the more faith is required, and the more blessed that you are when you act on that faith. But the question still remains, how do we overcome this distraction? How do we overcome the horrible and unavoidable fact that we don't pray more simply because we just don't like it? I mean, does that break your heart when you realize how little you enjoy speaking to God? It breaks my heart when I examine that in my life, when I see, when I go to pray and I realize I'm not looking forward to it. Or I'm partway through my prayer time and I'm checking how much time I have left. What's wrong with my heart? How do we get to where we like it? To where it's our favorite part of our day? Well, part of the answer to that question that I've found in my own experience and that Jesus gives us here in this verse is in this word translated unseen in the NIV. Literally, it's pray to your Father who is in secret. When you go to this private, secluded, secret place to pray, God is there. That's what this phrase says. He is in. Go to a secret place and pray to your Father who is in secret. He's there. And that storage room. The new Holy of Holies is the storage shed. Jesus told the woman at the well that the time is now when you won't have to travel to Jerusalem to visit, to worship God anymore. You don't have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem or any special place. You just have to find a closet. A closet. The most secular, earthy kind of place where they're storing feed and tools is transformed into a sacred place as long as it has a door that can be closed. So you're not doing it to impress anybody. Go to a secret place for prayer and God is there. He's there. And I believe the key to overcoming distraction in prayer, the thing that has just revolutionized my prayer life, is turning your prayer time, the thing that will turn your prayer time into a wonderful and satisfying and delightful and enjoyable experience that you actually look forward to and enjoy, is to have an awareness of and an experience of the presence of God in that place. One of the most important things I've learned in recent years about prayer is the importance of taking time at the beginning, right at the beginning, before you even start praying, to remind yourself of the presence of God in the room. Just that He's there. When I pray in the morning, before I start asking God for anything or saying thank you for anything or confessing any sin or anything else, I close my eyes and I quiet my heart and I just think for a minute about God. Just think about God. I just think about Him creating the earth or stilling the storm or I picture the great throne room scene in Revelation 5 and 6 or something. I just think about God and then I think this. I think after a few minutes of that, what if right now I opened my eyes and saw Him standing right in front of me, literally, physically, Jesus standing right there. What would I do? How would I act? What would go on inside my heart? Would I stand? Would I fall on my face? And then I say, Lord God, You are here, right here, in this room. Not figuratively, literally, just as literally as this chair that I'm kneeling in front of is sitting here. Have you ever been alone in the dark and then you heard someone or you felt somebody present in the room, you suddenly realized someone else is there and your heart kind of jumps? There's something about having another sentient being in the room with you that just changes the whole feel, right? And sometimes it takes me several minutes to wake myself up to the reality of the fact that there's not one person in the room. There's another person. I'm not alone. I'm not the only one there. There's another person there in the room, and He's looking at me. He's looking right at me, and He came here to meet with me. And He has something for me. He has some things that He wants to show me. He has some things that He wants me to know. And He has some gifts that He wants to give me during this time of prayer with Him. And He has in mind some special experience of His presence that will come with many wonderful benefits like joy and peace and awe and strength and insight or encouragement or whatever. And he wants to pour out, he wants me to pour out my heart to him. And when I do so, he will respond, not audibly, but by showing me some things in his word. He's got all that in store if I will seek him. He's right there. And some of these benefits of his presence, I can already feel. I can already feel that he's here. I can tell because of those benefits that Scripture says come along with the presence of God, like the ability to enjoy good things. You know, some mornings the cool, crisp air doesn't have any effect on me at all. Other mornings, it's just especially delightful. And the ability to enjoy that good thing, the fact that it's especially delightful, is the effect, one of the benefits of God's presence. Some days I have a splitting headache, but today, no headache pain, and so I can think clearly. That's one of the benefits of God's presence. Some days I feel discouraged and overwhelmed. Today I don't. And so, you know, I can just list a million examples like that. There's always plenty of those things every morning. And whatever it is, I think about the forms of grace that I'm enjoying right now at this moment. And I remind myself, those are not accidental. They're not random. They're not incidental. They are the effect of the immediate favorable presence of a being so wonderful as God. Everything good about my situation right now, everything good about the way I feel, I take time to draw the connection between that and his presence in the room. And now, after doing that, finally, now I'm focused on him and I'm ready to begin praying. Think of a sentence that you could attach to the beginning and end, and middle if needed, of your prayers to call attention to the fact that God's presence with you in that moment is literal, not figurative. A sentence that would remind you that there's a special, unique sense in which God is present with you in this time of seclusion with Him. And just try to get in the habit of always attaching that sentence to your prayer.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.